Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
And Wally B is in the studio. Welcome back, Wally B. Hope you're feeling
you.
A lot better.
Oh, man, so much better. That flu is brutal. My goodness. I hope that this attack of life against Wally B is over now. My goodness.
We all hope that.
Woo,
welcome,
man.
Welcome back, though. And welcome to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, coming to you from the Solidarity HealthShare Studios in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. Pat Payone and Wally B with you for the next 2 hours, talking everything local and national in sports and in life and fun and entertainment.
Is that a real sponsorship? You just make that up?
No, it really is.
Okay.
It's been all week. I've butchered the name a couple times. I've said health care, but it's health share. I've said solid. Blah, blah, blah. It's Solidarity Health Share Studios.
Have they sold the sponsorship for the bathroom yet?
Yeah, they need to. That gets the use out of more than anything.
Make them money.
Yeah. Welcome to The Drive, and starting off, we got to talk about Coastal Carolina and what happened yesterday. Coastal Carolina baseball, they were on fire. They were out-hit 8-6, which is interesting, but they still won the game 13-2 over their rival UNC Wilmington Seahawks last night in Springsburg Stadium. The Chanticleers with the win. Moved to 16-10. They took advantage of 10 walks, 2 hit by pitches, and an error by the Seahawks, who now are 11-12, to get the victory. Peyton Isaacson provided the big hit with a 3-run double as a part of the 5-run fourth inning. And then the fifth, with the bases loaded, UNCW dropped the potential third out to allow 3 runs to score and put the game out of reach. Kevin Woodall Jr. had a pretty good game, adding 2 hits and 2 RBIs, while CCU redshirt freshman Kyle Skeels hit his first career home run and finished with 3 runs scored. But Anthony Veneziano has just continued to improve and really showcase his talents, as yesterday he was credited with the win. He is now 2-1 in the season. He allowed 5 hits, including 2 solo home runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and 4 and one-third inning. Rafi Vasquez picked up a 3-inning save, his second of the season, as he allowed only 1 hit, struck out 2. Andrew Beckwith came in and struck out the 3 of the 6 batters he faced. But very a great game for Coastal Carolina, and that's what the Chanticleers need to do pretty much the rest of the season to make it back to the promised land of the College World Series.
Yeah.
And we saw the effort last night. And they will return to Sunbelt action this weekend with a 3-game series in Hotlanta versus Georgia State. Game times are 6 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. That leads us to the Coastal Carolina basketball team, who were in Game 2 of the College Basketball Invitational last night. And they picked a bad time to have a bad night shooting. as they fell to Wyoming 81-57 in that second game. Elijah Wilson and Arturo Labinowitz were the only two Chanticleers to reach double figures, only scoring 10 points each, as Coastal Carolina only shot 32% from the field. They only hit 5 of 24 from beyond the three-point line and only hit 9 of 15 free throws. You know, it's going to be hard for them to get this third win, or get the win in the third game, because of how many injuries they have. I mean, they're missing scoring and rebounding from their senior, Colton Ray-Sincere. They only got 4 points from their leading scorer, Jalen Shaw. DeMario Beck, who was averaging over 17 points and 9 rebounds per game, he tried to play despite being hobbled. He only had 6.7 rebounds. And, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for the Chanticleers in that final game, which is coming up on Friday at 7 p.m., and you can hear it on our airwaves, Sports Radio 100.3 Through the Team. This game will again be played in Wyoming and will be played before a national audience on ESPNU. From one college basketball game to an NBA game last night, you know, a week after his first perfect triple-double, in which he didn't miss a single shot the entire game, Russell Westbrook put up another mark in the NBA history books with the most points ever when recording a triple-double. He scored 57 points, added 13 rebounds and 11 assists in Oklahoma City's 114-106 overtime win over the Orlando Magic, and that tops James Harden and Wilt Chamberlain, who each scored 53 points while getting a triple-double in their efforts.
Nuts.
It is Westbrook's second 50-point triple-double this season. He joins Harden for the most in the league this season. Before this, a 50-point triple-double hadn't been done since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1975. So if that helps, that may help his candidacy for the MVP award. We had the discussion earlier in the week on Monday whether the MVP award, because it's so hard to really differentiate these two guys, whether it should just be split and we'll have the first ever co-MVP awards. And I'm thinking more and more and more after we're seeing the efforts that these two gentlemen are putting down, I think you got to.
Yeah.
I think you got to, because both of them are well deserving of it. And we had some responses about Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is a special talent. He's just not comparing to these two guys. And he's doing a lot for Boston, especially Boston being the number one seed right now in the Eastern Conference. He's doing a lot to help them, and he is the catalyst of that. But still, no one in my mind compares to what James Harden and Russell Westbrook are doing so far this season. It is absolutely incredible what those two great NBA players are doing.
Yeah.
Wally, you're back, so let's get back into it. Today's day in birthdays and today's day in history, and I got one for the record books. I got my first ever sports birthday profile that is not a living human being.
Really?
Okay.
I've done
deceased human beings, but maybe it's not even a human being. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But starting off, I start off in 1940 on this day, March 30th. Jerry Lucas of the NBA played for the Knicks and the Warriors. He was a 7-time NBA All-Star power forward / center who won an NBA championship with the Knicks in 1973. Also played for the Cincinnati Royals and the San Francisco Warriors in his 11-year career. He was born on this day in 1940. Also born on this day, 1988, Richard Sherman, the NFL cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, all-pro NFL cornerback, who became one of the league's top shutdown corners shortly after joining the Seahawks in 2011. They won Super Bowl, 48, I believe. It's 48. Yeah, Super Bowl 48, while leading the Legion of Boom, the league's most physical and feared defensive secondary. We'll see if that continues to happen as these guys are getting a little bit older. That leads me to 1989, where we're having one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball now have his birthday, and that is Chris Sale, formerly of the White Sox, now of the Red Sox. He began his career with the White Sox in 2010 and was selected to his first All-Star game in 2012. And after this past season, he was traded to the Boston Red Sox. And you got to believe that is one of the strongest pitching rotations in all of Major League Baseball. So happy birthday to Jerry Lucas, Richard Sherman, and Chris Sale. And that leads me to my sports birthday profile. So, Wally, who are celebrity birthdays?
He turns 27 today, and it's one of my all-time favorite summer songs this past year. He is going to be, he's like 7 number one songs now. Come on, play. So, where's it at? Play. Here we go. Well, he's not going to play. Thomas Rhett is 27.
I like Thomas Rhett a lot.
I was trying to play the song Vacation, but for some reason...
I like Thomas Rhett a lot.
Oh, well.
Good guy.
Whack this thing one time. Also having a birthday today, he turns She turns 38. Nora Jones, old singer, great come voice. With me. Yeah, yeah. Her dad was a big jazz star back in his day. Celine Dion is 49. And don't worry, I'm not going to play the Titanic song.
Come on.
We played that for you last week.
Yeah.
It was a week before. I forgot I've been out so long. Piers Morgan is 52 today. Piers Morgan, man, what a dude he is.
Yeah. Kind of annoying sometimes.
Oh, yes, very much so. Tracy Chapman, biggest hits, Fast Car, and Give Me One Reason. She is 53. Mr. Beverly Hills 90210, and more recently known for his Sharknado starring movie, Ian Ziering is 53.
Have you seen any of the Sharknados?
I tried. I couldn't.
I haven't even tried. I can tell you that. I know I will not like them.
Tried to watch them, and I just couldn't do it. This gentleman turns 55 today. It's not going to play. What's up with this?
You can't touch this.
There it is. MC Hammer is 55. He's still too legit to quit.
Still trying to make that money.
Yeah. And MC now stands more for moving cars as a valet than it does for being a big MC. But happy birthday, Hammer Time.
I wish I had those pants.
You know, it was so funny. Oh, yeah, I had a pair of those back in the day.
I'm sure
I was
did.
Working the nightclubs. I had to have me some.
Of course.
Parachute pants, they called them back then. They were super parachute pants. But it was really funny because I remember when Hammer was on The Surreal Life.
Yeah.
With Vince Neil of Motley Crue, he actually got Vince Neil to accept Jesus Christ as his savior on the TV show. And he even officiated Vince's wedding.
That's crazy.
I think Vince has backslid ever since then. And lastly, having a birthday today, this guy is turning 72 today. And he may need lots of what this song is about to keep going nowadays. Eric Clapton is 72, but no, he don't do cocaine. He don't like cocaine. But happy birthday, Mr. Slohan, the true legend, Eric Clapton, 72 years old.
Great song.
Yeah, it's a great song. What's his profile? Yeah.
All right. So, well, first of all, Sam says, finally, producer Pat will do a birthday profile on a legend, Air Bud. No, it's not Air Bud. Not Air Bud, but it is another animal, and born on this day, March 30th, 1970, Secretariat. Born on this day. Pretty awesome. American thoroughbred racehorse who in 1973 became the first Triple Crown winner in 25 years. His record-breaking win at the Belmont Stakes, where he left the field 31 lengths behind him, is widely regarded as one of the greatest races of all time.
Yeah,
during his racing career. Oh, it's amazing. He won 5 Eclipse Awards, including the Horse of the Year honors at ages 2 and 3, and he is elected in the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame in 1974. So, going through the history, at age 2, he finished 4th in his 1972 debut in a maiden race, but then won 7 of his remaining 8 starts, including 5 stakes victories. His only loss during that period was the Champagne Stakes, where he finished 1st, but was disqualified to 2nd for interference with another horse's race. He received the Eclipse Award for champion 2-year-old colt, and also was the 1972 Horse of the Year, a rare honor for a horse so young. At age 3, Secretariat not only won the Triple Crown, he set speed records at all 3 races. His time in the Kentucky Derby still stands as the Churchill Downs track record for 1 1/4 mile. His time at the Belmont Stakes stands as the American record for 1 1/2 mile in the dirt. And his controversial time at the Preakness Stakes was eventually recognized as the stakes record in 2012. Secretariat's win at the Gotham Stakes tied the track record for 1 mile. He set a world record in the Marlboro Cup at 1 1/8 miles, 1 1/8 miles, and further proved his versatility by winning 2 major stakes on turf. He lost 3 times that year in the Wood Memorial, the Whitney, and the Woodward Stakes, but the brilliance of his 9 wins made him an American icon. He won his second Horse of the Year title, plus Eclipse Awards for champion 3-year-old colt and champion turf horse. Now, at the beginning of his 3-year-old year, Secretariat was syndicated for a record-breaking $6.08 million on condition that he be retired from racing by the end of the year.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. And again, going over his entire record, 21 races, 17 wins, 3 losses, and 1 disqualification for 2nd place.
Crazy.
So it's actually pretty interesting right there. But, I mean, since we've had a Triple Crown winner since then,
you know, it's kind of hard for my generation to really understand how dominant Secretariat was.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've watched the races that where he won the Triple Crown, and he easily was the most dominant horse of all time.
No air bud, but a true stud.
No air bud, you are right.
But a true horsey stud.
Thank you for that tweet, by the way, Sam. Was such a jokester. All right, this day in history, and I start off Wally in 1943. Where do you start?
1870.
Take it away.
147 years ago, the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution went into effect, giving black men the right to vote by guaranteeing this right, regardless of race, for all. The 15th Amendment, or as Rush Limbaugh calls it, worst idea ever. I don't know why he'd say that.
No, I don't know either. He's a jerk.
He sure is. I go to 64 from there.
I have 1943.
Go ahead, brother. Tell me. All
right. 1943 was the fifth NCAA Men's Championship Tournament, and this involved eight schools in a single elimination tournament that started on March 24th and ended on March 26th. So they got the entire tournament done in 1 week. All nine games, were including the third-place games in each region, were all played in New York City. Top-ranked Illinois declined to participate in the NCAA tournament or the NIT after three of its starters were drafted into the Army. That's a pretty interesting tidbit right there. But who won it? The Wyoming Cowboys, coached by Everett Shelton. They won the national title 46-34 over Georgetown, who was coached by Elmer Ripley. And Ken Saylors of Wyoming was named the tournament's most outstanding player. Now we have the Wyoming Cowboys taking on the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers in the championship of the College Basketball Invitational. So pretty cool roundabout there. I then go to 1981, Wally.
1964, this TV show debuted on TV and is still hanging tough. Let's see, we can play now. Jeopardy! It was originally hosted by a guy named Art Fleming.
Who?
Art Fleming.
I've never heard of him.
That ran until 75. It was resurrected in its current form in 84 with, of course, Mr. Alex Hip Hop Rappin' Trebek.
This is awesome.
I had some of his rapping, but we won't go there. We got things.
One of my favorite shows.
Oh yeah, it's a great show.
It's a great show.
You learn from it. When you watch it, and you get a couple right. You're thinking, man, I still got it. I'm a smart dude.
Then you get shut out of an entire category.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, what's that category? Oh my goodness.
I've never even heard.
I got one more. It's 1981.
All right, I have the same in 1981. So go ahead and take it away.
Is this a sports one you got?
NCAA.
Mine is a presidential one. It was 36 years ago today in 81. President Ronald Reagan was shot and seriously injured by John Hinckley as he left the Washington, D.C. hotel. White House Press Secretary James Brady and two others were also wounded, and John Hinckley said that he was trying to impress Tatum O'Neal when he took his shot at Ronald Reagan. Now, I'll never forget that.
Well, the reason he wasn't successful is because he didn't have three names.
It was my senior year of high school. I'll never forget. I was actually pulling up to a friend's house to work out in the basement. A bunch of us working out and got the news. Never forgot that. It's funny how things in history that very moment
just sticking
know exactly where you were and what you were doing.
Yeah. So. I also have 1981. It was the 43rd NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, and now we had 48 teams playing in this. So it started in March 12th, ended with a championship game on March 30th in Philadelphia. A total of 48 games were played in this game, and it was the last tournament to be televised on NBC before CBS took over that following year. But Indiana, coached by Bob Knight, won the national title 63-50 over North Carolina, who was coached by the great Dean Smith. And Isaiah Thomas of Indiana was named the tournament's most outstanding player. Now, there's more along with this tournament that is more notable. And it is because of the date Saturday, March 14th, so just 16 days ago, that resulted in major second-round upsets that were decided in last-second baskets. First of all, St. Joe's trailed the number one-seeded DePaul team by 7 midway through the second half, and St. Joe's John Smith's layup with 2 seconds helped the Hawks to stun the Blue Demons of DePaul 49-48. That's upset number one. Later that afternoon, Arkansas head coach Eddie Sutton called timeout with 5 seconds left after falling behind Louisville 73-72 on a jumper by Derek Smith. Arkansas then dribbled the ball down near half court, launched a 49-foot shot to beat the buzzer, and switched through the net as Arkansas dethroned the defending national champion Cardinals of Louisville 74-73. So that's upset number two.
Wow.
Kansas State and Oregon State were tied, with Kansas State holding on to the ball for the last shot, and with 2 seconds left, Rolando Blackman double-teamed, drilled a fall-away 17-footer from the right baseline for a 50-48 upset of the Wildcats of Kansas State. So that's upset number three on the same Saturday. Then you had another second-round upset. Alabama Birmingham defeated Kentucky 69-62. And then you had BYU over Notre Dame 51-50. Now you're asking yourself, why do these matter? In an article in 2011 by Greg Johnson of NCAA.com, this specific day is the reason why we call it March Madness, because of how many upsets happen in the same day. And so Greg Johnson of NCAA.com wrote in that article that this day, March 14th, 1981, was the day during this tournament, which culminated today, March 30th, that actually defined March Madness. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I have one final one, and that is 1998. It was the 60th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship and involved 64 schools. And in this one, the Final Four consisted of Kentucky making their third Final Four, or consecutive Final Four, Stanford making their first appearance in their initial Final Four run in 1942, and Utah making their fourth Final Four and first since 1966, and then the North Carolina Tar Heels, who returned for the 14th overall in third and four seasons. Kentucky won the national title, its second in three seasons and seventh overall, by defeating Utah 78-69 in the championship game. Jeff Shepard of Kentucky was named the tournament's most outstanding player. And Bryce Drew, another notable upset, led the 13th-ranked Valparaiso Crusaders to the Sweet 16, including some memorable plays that definitely remain in March Madness lore. So some great championships culminated today in NCAA basketball, and we will have one coming up just the beginning of next week.
I want to thank Dennis Murdovich for calling in. It was Jody Foster that Hinkley was trying to impress, not Tatum O'Neal. We got those two mixed up. And
the same.
He also let me know that Secretariat, when Secretariat died, they did an autopsy, and Secretariat's heart was twice the normal size it should have been, and they felt that was why she was, or he, or whatever, was so superior on
not,
the track.
Not a performance-enhancing.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder, how'd the heart get so big?
Yeah. Don't want to throw that shade on that horse. It was a great horse. But let's tell the people what they're hearing on today's show. We already went over Coastal Carolina basketball and baseball from last night. Baseball getting the win, basketball falling just short with all the injuries, and Russell Westbrook having a record-breaking triple-double last night. We're going to talk about athletes and other sports you didn't know were in the NCAA tournament at one time. I think that's a pretty interesting discussion. We're also going to have two separate segments on whether Raiders fans should boycott Oakland games, and then could the Raiders, if they are getting their games boycotted and not selling seats, could they play somewhere else? And there's two cities that are being brought to mind in year three before their stadium is done in Las Vegas. Raleigh B's World of Sports is back today, so that'll start off the 8 o'clock hour. Matchups to watch in the Final Four, and we'll talk about which game we think will be better. That'll be in hour number two as well. We will continue our sports movie bracket with our second Final Four matchup, and you know, we had a surprise yesterday, and we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later, and we will wrap up the show with Final Word and what to watch on tonight's television broadcast. Going through the polls on Twitter for you. Should Raiders fans boycott games in Oakland over the next two-plus seasons? Yes or no? Which March Madness Final Four game do you think will be better, the Gonzaga versus South Carolina game or the North Carolina versus Oregon game? Which one will be better? And then our sports movie Final Four, which movie is better, the number three seed We Are Marshall or the number one seed Remember the Titans? A great matchup right there. All those can be found on Twitter at 100 through the team. Phone lines wide open for you, 843-652-3776. When we come back, athletes and other sports you didn't know were in the big dance. This is The Drive.
The journey is just starting.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Start fresh in the morning.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Let's make every day Thursday.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
We're going to tear it up old school.
Good morning.
Oh, there's no need to wake up and get out of bed or anything.
Wake up, stupid!
Wake up time.
Are you planning on waking up at any point?
No.
The radio show you're currently enjoying is now available over the counter.
Let's begin the program.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3. The team coming to you from the Solidarity HealthShare Studios, Pat Payone and Wally B. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to think about some of the two-sport athletes that we've seen in college basketball and how they've progressed now in their future sports. I guess you could say the sports that they've actually succeeded at. And there's an entire list. I have 16 names on here. I'm not going to, you know, go into depth about every one of them. But it's pretty interesting to know that. I mean, I didn't know a lot of these guys played even college basketball, let alone were in the NCAA tournament. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who in this tournament, you know, makes a leap to a different sport. You know, could we see a power forward from a smaller school make a leap to a tight end position like, I think, five of these guys? So it'll be pretty interesting. And so I thought it would be an interesting little side note to tell you about athletes who are in other sports who played in the NCAA tournament. We start off with those tight ends. Martellus Bennett. And Martellus Bennett, who just signed with the Green Bay Packers, and he was formerly of the New England Patriots, Super Bowl-winning New England Patriots. He was a bench player for two seasons at Texas A&M, and he scored 2 points and grabbed five rebounds against Final Four-bound LSU in the second round of the 2006 NCAA tournament. Mm. It's pretty cool. I never knew Martellus Bennett was a college basketball player.
Yeah, me either.
Antonio Gates knew this one. He led the Kent State Golden Flashes to the 2002 Elite Eight by averaging 16 points and 8 rebounds during that season. The following year, he averaged 20 points for the Golden Flashes, and his number 44 jersey was retired by the school. He was a 3-time first-team All-Pro for the L.A. Chargers, and he is continuing to have a great NFL career playing for those L.A. Chargers. Also, the best tight end in NFL history. He played college basketball. That is Tony Gonzalez. He was quite the basketball player. His Cal team in 1997 reached the Sweet 16 before losing to North Carolina. In the two games leading up to that, he averaged 18 points against Princeton and Villanova. And we know what type of career he had in the NFL, going down as one of the best, as the best tight end in NFL history.
Wow, interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham knew this one as well. You know, where do you think he learned to dunk on those goalposts? Well, he learned it as a hoops player for the U, the University of Miami. And then in his graduate year at Miami, that's when he played football. But the Hurricanes with Jimmy Graham only appeared in the NCAA tournament just once. He did score 9 points in the first round win over St. Mary's in 2008. And the final tight end on this list, Julius Thomas. Interesting. Thomas was on the only two Portland State teams to ever make it into the NCAA tournament, and one of those games was against top seed and eventual champion Kansas in 2008. In his 4 years playing college basketball for the Vikings of Portland State, he averaged 6.8 points and 4.3 rebounds, and he is now on the move as he is playing for the Miami Dolphins in this upcoming season as a tight end.
Yeah.
Guy I had no idea was even close to athletic enough to play basketball, because he is a statue when it comes to being a quarterback and one of the most unathletic quarterbacks we've ever had in the NFL, and that is Brad Johnson. Remember Brad Johnson?
Yeah.
His legs couldn't move to walk enough to, or fast enough to get off the field, let alone down the field.
I can see him being a clumsy basketball player.
Yeah, but he played basketball at Florida State. He actually hit all three-pointers he shot in the first round loss to B.J. Armstrong's Iowa Hawkeyes in 1988. He did lead the Florida State Seminoles in free throw shooting his freshman year as well. So he's not a bad athlete in terms of college basketball. Continuing with the NFL, Donovan McNabb. Did you know he was a walk-on at Syracuse? I didn't know that.
Wow.
But yes, he was a walk-on for the Syracuse basketball team in the mid-1990s. He was on the team that lost to Kentucky in the 1996 National Championship game, and in the 96 tournament, he scored 2 points in the first round against Montana State and played 8 scoreless minutes in the Sweet 16 matchup against Georgia. So pretty interesting there. Also from the NFL, three more from there. Terrell Owens. Did you know T.O. was a college basketball player? I knew this.
I'm not surprised, but yeah.
Played 3 seasons at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, UT Chattanooga. He averaged just 1.5 points per game. He did appear in the NCAA tournament for just 1 minute against UConn in the first round of the 1995 NCAA tournament. Julius Peppers knew this one as well. He was on the North Carolina Tar Heels, one of only two players who played in both a Super Bowl and a Final Four. In 2000, they were in the Final Four, where he scored 2 points in 16 minutes in North Carolina's national semifinal loss to Florida in the 2001 tournament. He scored 21 points and grabbed 10 rebounds against Penn State, and he was the number two overall pick by the Carolina Panthers in 2002. Antoine Randle L is the final NFL player that I have on here. He was a very versatile football player, but he also played basketball on the Indiana University 1999 NCAA tournament team. He scored 2 points in the Hoosiers' second-round loss to Ron Artest's St. John's squad. He went on to have a nine-year NFL career with both the Steelers and the Redskins and was a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers' Super Bowl championship-winning team. So that's all the NFL guys. So that's 10 NFL guys out of the 16 that are on this list.
Wow.
And a lot of, you know, a couple of these guys, especially Julius Thomas and Jimmy Graham, you know, they really weren't pictured to be football players. They just made the transition very well into football from being strong power forwards.
Yeah.
So we then move on to Major League Baseball, which has four players. And that starts off with Ryan Minor. Now, you're asking, who the hell is Ryan Minor? I didn't know who Ryan Minor was, but he was the Big 8 Player of the Year. The Big 8 Conference is now the Big 12. And that is he was a member of the Oklahoma Sooners who went to two tournaments during Minor's time in Norman, but lost in the first round in both seasons. Now, why he is notable, he is the third baseman that replaced Cal Ripken Jr. When Cal's 2,632 games played streak ended. So
wow.
He was the guy who came in. So that's pretty important right there. Also from Major League Baseball, Tim Stoddard, a former MLB pitcher. He's the only man to win an NCAA championship and a World Series. He did with NC State in 1974 and then the Baltimore Orioles in 1983. He was the starting power forward on the David Thompson-led Wolfpack team that ended UCLA's seven-year run as a national champion. So not only did he have a great college basketball career, he had a great MLB career as well. And that brings me to the final Major League Baseball player. That is Dave Winfield. Didn't know he played college basketball. But he did play both baseball and basketball at the University of Minnesota and was a member of the Hoops team that won the 1972 Big Ten Championship. He played every minute for the Golden Gophers in their first ever NCAA tournament game against Florida State. And he was drafted by both the NBA's Atlanta Hawks and the ABA's Utah Stars, but he decided to go the MLB route.
Yeah.
That leads me to two last ones, and one of them, you know, do you consider Charlie Ward, because he never really played in the NFL. He played in the NBA, but he was still a two-sport athlete at Florida State, and he won the 1993 Heisman Trophy that year, but the same year, that Seminole squad lost to Kentucky in the Elite Eight, and so he picked basketball over football for his professional career and played 11 seasons in the NBA, mostly with the New York Knicks. And then we have the outlier. So who didn't play in the NFL, didn't play in Major League Baseball, and didn't play in the NBA? That would be wrestler Kevin Nash.
Really?
Remember Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
He's kind of old. But he was actually – he had a pretty decent hoops career. He was a member of the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team in the late 1970s and was the starting center for the Vols when they went to the 1979 NCAA tournament and lost to powerful Notre Dame. He played basketball overseas before a torn ACL ended his career. Then he made the transition to wrestling, which went pretty well for him. He averaged just over 5 points and 4 rebounds in his college career. So that's a pretty interesting list right there, Wally. You know, what's the most interesting one to you? I would have to say I never knew about Kevin Nash, but I never knew about Donovan McNabb as well. So I would probably say Donovan McNabb is the most interesting one on that list.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe Brad Johnson, because that was a shocker.
Isn't that a shocker? The dude who couldn't move, couldn't even like shift his feet fast.
He
was able to get on the court for the Florida State Seminoles.
I could see him, you know, 3 seconds every time I'm ready. Every time you're on the court, 3 seconds.
Move your feet,
exactly.
Brad.
Yo, Johnson, move.
But if you know of any other names, definitely go to at 100 through the team on Twitter. Let us know any other sport athletes who played in the NCAA tournament. We want to hear from you on that. Got to let you know, a presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is Life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user accustomed to lightning-fast downloads or someone who just needs to check your email, HTC High-Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. They have installation, 24/7 tech support, all for free with no hidden equipment fees. And for more details, you can call HTC High-Speed Internet at 843-369-8982. HTC, this is Life. Connect with it. When we come back, should Raiders fans boycott games that are going to be played in Oakland over the next 2+ years? We'll talk about that on The Drive.
Today's show is brought to you by Thursday, the day that Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity. And by electricity, I mean line dancing.
Get funky, Franklin. Shake that thing.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Pat Payone and Wally B. are always wrong. So tell them about it. 843-652-3776. The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Great song.
Yeah, I like it.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3. The Team, coming to you from the Solidarity Health Share Studios. Pat Payone and Wally B. And we're going to continue the conversation about the Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders, or as I received a text message yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders of Oakland. Maybe that could be their name as well. I mean, they're eventually going to become the Las Vegas Raiders, but you know, the move itself, we found out, is not going to happen for a couple of years. And in the meantime, the Raiders will keep playing football in Oakland at the Coliseum, which has to be not only awkward for the team, the players, the coaches, but how about for the fans? Knowing that your team is going to be leaving you after possibly two seasons to go to another entirely different state. So the question that is posed is, will Oakland-based Raiders fans actually show up and support a team that is already announced that it's leaving for another city in another state? Now, this remains to be unseen. And if I'm a Raiders fan, I got to feel slighted. I got to feel real slighted that this team is now deciding to go ahead and just pick up and uproot one of the more historical franchises in it's a California franchise.
Yeah.
And so that now they're moving to an entirely different state. But yesterday, or it may have been 2 days ago, actually. It was Tuesday. After the Warriors win over the Rockets, Draymond Green was asked about this, about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, and he had this as a response.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel bad for the city of Oakland, man. I don't even know how that's going to work, honestly, you know, with a team, football team moving to Las Vegas. I feel bad for the city. If I was the fans, I wouldn't attend a game for the next 2 years, but that's just me, you know. That's ridiculous. But no way I pay my money to attend a game. And you leave one of the most, like, that's like moving the Dallas Cowboys or like moving the Packers, like moving the Raiders. You can move a lot of teams. Ain't many fan bases like the Raiders fan base. So, you know, I mean, it's like moving Boston Celtics from Boston, you know, or the Lakers from L.A. Like, you just don't move certain franchises with the fan base that they have. So, you know, it's one thing if you're moving them from Oakland to Fremont or something, you know, but to Las Vegas, like, I wouldn't attend the game. So I won't attend the game. And I'm not a diehard Raiders fan, but I do support the city of Oakland. So it ain't for me. Like, that's, and I feel like all fans should feel that way. You just don't do that. Like, what? Come on, man. That's ridiculous.
Now, for the most part, it's tough to agree with him. You know, how can you blame any Raiders fan that is going to stop caring about this team because they're moving to Las Vegas? He has that point, I think, sold.
Yeah.
But there are some things that are going to contradict him as well. Let's talk about his own team, the Warriors, who have already reportedly signed a contract to move from Oakland to San Francisco for a new stadium just a couple years from now, 2019. So, is this like moving the Warriors from Oakland to San Francisco? Answer that question. That's the first contradiction.
Good point.
Number two, the Lakers moved from L.A. or from Minneapolis to L.A., so you can't really use that one as well. And number three, the Raiders, they've already moved from Oakland to L.A. and then moved back to Oakland again. So he's got to get his facts before he starts, you know, spouting out certain things. That definitely contradicts, you know, his stance. But I think he has the right intentions in mind. You know, you can't blame the fans if they don't support the Raiders during the remaining time in Oakland. You know, it's got to be so hard for fans of a franchise. And you got to admit, this is one of the most patronized franchises in all of the NFL. Their fan base is strong. They show up to games, and they are one of the more passionate fan bases in all of the NFL with how crazy their Yahoos dress in the stands.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, you you could blame them if they don't. I mean, if they don't actually go to these games, they've stuck with this team through the past 15 years of ineptitude, and they deserve to finally root for a contender, which now the Raiders are actually becoming. And so you're taking away, you know, not only their franchise that they've loved, you're taking away some valuable chances to see a championship in Oakland. Now, with that being said, you know, you also have to look at how the Seattle Supersonics, you know, when they relocated to the Oklahoma City Thunder, that sucked for the market of Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's looking more and more like that city will never, ever get a franchise again. But think about also St. Louis and San Diego. The San Diego fans just burned everything that they had that had the Chargers logo on it.
Yeah.
And they're only moving a couple hours away inside the same state. St. Louis fans, that with the move from the Rams going to St. Louis to L.A., there was a lot of upheaval and disapproval of this move. But this right now with the Raiders, it's got to be the ugliest and messiest breakups of them all. And how fans will handle this will definitely be something to monitor. In your opinion, Wally, do you believe that fans should boycott games in Oakland over the next 2+ years? Because right now they're scheduled to play in Oakland for the next 2 years. The third year is still up in the air, and we'll talk about that in just a short second.
I can see the point in wanting to boycott, but you know what? In the end, in the big picture, it's not going to matter. So if you support the team, it's not the players' faults.
No, it's not.
It's politics. It's big business.
It's so money.
I would still go to the games.
I understand that aspect of it. I personally would feel so slighted that I would not spend a single dollar to go watch this team that is going to go ahead and move. And the reason is, it's not a thing against the players, the coaches. It is all against Mark Davis because he is taking this team and leaving town for money.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to send my money to Mark Davis and put it in his pocket. Now, the contingency plans for the Oakland Raiders are kind of getting messy because it's right now two years inside of Oakland, playing still in Oakland, and then the third year is up in the air. So if the fans start not showing up for these Oakland Raiders games in Oakland over the next two seasons, there's reports that the Raiders could possibly play a single season in either San Antonio, and that would be strange because now you're talking about three different seasons of playing in Oakland, California, then in San Antonio, Texas, and then moving finally to Las Vegas, Nevada. That'd be interesting. Now, the other aspect that and a possibility is that they just go and play in San Francisco for a year in the same 49ers stadium.
Just call them the Oakland Roamers. And just let them roam all over and play somewhere.
The
different.
West Coast Roamers.
Well, yeah,
we don't have a team. We don't have a city that we can actually associate.
Find out where we'll be playing next week.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, now we can look back in history because this was actually done with the Houston Oilers as well when they were approved for relocation to Nashville in '96, but they played the '96-'97 season still in Houston. So it's happened before. That team nearly lost all of their fan support, and it didn't return until they got another team in the Houston Texans. So that is something we could possibly see with the Oakland Raiders. You know, our fans going to show up. I say don't do it. Don't give them their money. If you want to support the team, watch them from home. Cheer on your team from home. You know, they're not going to hear you anyway in the stands over the loud crowd or the music that's played there. But you're giving your money to Mark Davis, who doesn't deserve it.
And let's face it, those who can afford to go to a game are really in a smaller category than the average person, average sports fan. So therefore, if you're an Oakland sports fan, you want to try and make an impact, don't buy any more Oakland Raiders gear.
That's true.
Don't wear the gear.
Don't give them your money.
Yeah, that's where you can, you know, make a difference with your money. Because you go to a game, you end up big money pretty much.
And you could still be a fan. You could still be a fan.
Yeah.
But I just don't see giving your money to Mark Davis and the Oakland Raiders. Should the Raiders fans boycott games in Oakland over the next 2+ seasons? 71% say no, they are on Wally's side, they should go to the games, and 29% are on my side saying yes, they should boycott. Got an interesting tweet from or a text from Travis. He said, just play at UNLV, their facilities, until the new Las Vegas facilities are ready. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree. He also points out logistics work with this. Many NFL teams have made the move first and then get the fan base going. Yes, getting an actual team in Las Vegas before the national stadium is built may grow your Raiders fan base in Las Vegas until you're ready to actually have that stadium, that state-of-the-art stadium. I still think it's a bad move for the Raiders to move to Las Vegas. There's a lot of great things that are involved, but it's a money grab.
No doubt.
All of the owners are getting a lot of money because they voted for this, and Mark Davis is going to get a lot of money as well because he is going to be moving his team to Las Vegas.
Yep.
The NFL also wins because there's probably going to be multiple Super Bowls in the city of Las Vegas now. And maybe other championships for other sports like the NCAA tournament or maybe even a bowl game in the BCS or something like that. So there's a lot of use for the stadium. But I personally, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm not spending a single dime to Mark Davis, giving it to him and supporting that franchise. I will support the players. I'll support the coaches. I will support the team on the field. I'm not supporting the actual management and what they have done tearing this franchise away from us.
Understandable.
All right, final segment week of the first hour when we come back, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you about the Fantasy Golf Challenge we have for you. I set it up this morning, so you can go on Facebook or Twitter and see that, but I will give you the details coming up after this break.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back. Just about 3 minutes left in the first hour of The Drive. Pat Payon and Wally B coming to you from the Solidarity Healthshare Studios. And I set it up this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the Fantasy Golf Challenge, where we are taking on the four majors and you have to pick. And we're doing it a little bit different this year. So I'll explain it. It's easy. Go to 4majors.com. Again, 4majors.com. Find our mini league, which is titled Sports Radio 100 Points to the Team. The password is golf123. How easy is that? But you select a team of five golfers for your major. You nominate your main man, which is your lead golfer, and you sit back and enjoy the actual the broadcast. Now, what this does, so your main man that you pick will earn a bonus of 20% on their points. The points are determined by their finishing in the major, and so the overall winner gets 10,000 points. The number two, second place gets 6,000 points, and they have it on the actual website for you. But if a golfer misses the cut and or they do withdraw, it is minus 500 points. But the way this works, there's four majors. You select five golfers. It could be any five golfers. You can only use that one golfer twice over the four majors. So once you use them once, you can only reselect them again one more time. So if you say you select Dustin Johnson to win the Masters, you can only select Dustin Johnson one more time in those other three majors. So you have to be a little bit strategic here. But again, it is 4majors.com. You can not only go on Facebook.com/100 through the team, and I have a link up there for it. You can go to Twitter at 100 through the team, and I tweeted it out as well. It's easy. Go to 4majors.com. Our mini league is titled Sports Radio 100 Point through the Team, and the password is golf123. It's going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
I've already made my picks. So I'm already in there, but make sure you do go ahead and really read the directions. Wally B will get him signed up for it as well, so you can take on Wally and I. And I'll work along with the sales staff to see if there's any great prizes we can throw along with this. But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun doing the fantasy golf, and with the Masters starting next Thursday, next Wednesday, we will actually go ahead and have Brian Steffen of the Myrtle Beach Golf podcast on the show with me to not only give his picks, but break down the field. I think he did a great job breaking down the field at the Ryder Cup, and so we'll have him back on the show next week to do that as well. But again, 4majors.com. Our mini league is called Sports Radio 100 Point to the Team. The password, golf123. Go ahead and sign up. You can take on myself and Wally, and we'll have some great prizes for the winner as well. Again, 4majors.com.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting. Sports Radio 100.3. The Team.
Hour two of The Drive is brought to you by Air Mechanical. Get a new high-efficient Amana system today. Air Mechanical, we're in your neighborhood.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
I guess I have to differentiate the website. It is 4, like the number 4, majors.com, just to let you know.
Oh, yeah, because people, if they spell out 4,
yeah,
it won't work.
They will not find it. But you can find it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/100 through the team, or on our Twitter which is at 100 through the team. Both have links to the website. Welcome to hour two of the drive, and whether you're listening on the radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live on our website, teammyrtlebeach.com, or listening through the free app, the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team app, we welcome you to hour number two. Thank you for listening, and we are coming to you from the Solidarity HealthShare Studios in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. And, you know, if you missed hour number one, give you a quick recap. Coastal Carolina baseball, big win over UNCW. Coastal Carolina basketball, tough loss with all the injuries that they have, but they will have their redeeming game on Friday against Wyoming. We also talked about Russell Westbrook having the most points ever during a triple-double, 57 points. We talked about athletes that are in other sports you didn't know were in the NCAA tournament. I knew a couple of them, but the majority of them I did not know. We also talked about should Raiders fans boycott at all the games that are going to be in Oakland, and you know they could play possibly in San Francisco or San Antonio in that third season before making the ultimate move to Las Vegas. And then I just gave you the website to go to for our majors, our golf PGA Tour Golf Majors Fantasy Golf Challenge, where you take on Wally B and myself, and we'll give some great prizes to the top overall winner. And it's easy, like I said, the number four, majors.com. But if that's too hard, go to our website, that was mean. Go to our Facebook, facebook.com/100throughtheteam. There's a link on there. Or go to Twitter, at 100throughtheteam. And I threw up a link and retweeted it again up there as well.
Not if it's hard, if it's confusing.
If it's confusing, sorry. You are correct there. But it is hour number two, and we've missed him so dearly. It is back, Wally B's World of Sports.
Don't be lying.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
Oh, yes. Good to be back, man. Flu is brutal. Sending out prayers, wishes, and positive vibes and thoughts for all those who are suffering from any form or shape. It's hitting everybody differently. You know, and the thing about this flu bug, there's influenza A and B. B is what I had. B seems to be the most popular, if you want to call it that, of the two. But A is the really bad one. But either way, it's hitting people differently. And if you don't catch it in the first 48 hours, you can't get the prescribed drug called Tamiflu. You got to ride it out. So if you're feeling slightly fluish, go get checked out right away. Don't make yourself miss that window and have to suffer through, because some people are taking, lucky people may take a week, some are taking 2 weeks, some a month, some are being hospitalized by this thing. So just be aware of that. I want to pass that along to you.
Wow.
Deshaun Watson had his pro debut day yesterday, his workout day for all the pro teams, but the Browns didn't make it because the Browns have scheduled their own personal workout with Deshaun Watson. So I just want to warn you Clemson
Please,
fans.
Please, no.
He may stay in orange.
Please, and, no.
Like, no, God, for the love of God, no. But
I've actually seen a lot of mock drafts lately where they don't even have him in the first round.
Really?
So it could possibly be that he falls to the second round, and then the Browns go ahead and take him. So a lot of the mock drafts have the Browns taking Myles Garrett, number one overall, and then they take O.J. Howard, the tight end out of Alabama. And so you need someone to throw him the ball. And it's not going to be Brock Osweiler. So they could take Deshaun Watson with the first overall pick in the second round.
Or maybe a Garoppolo thing may still come together somehow. Somewhere.
It's not looking like it, but possibly.
The Browns are going to find a way to mess it up. That
yeah, you're right.
That's what they do the best. So be warned, Clemson fans. Poor Michael Irvin, Pro Football Hall of Famer, is accused of drugging and raping a woman at a Florida hotel. A 27-year-old woman told police she and Irvin left a Fort Lauderdale bar in the early hours of March 21st, went to his hotel room, she started feeling sick, and then the last thing she remembers is fighting him off. When she woke up the next morning, she says Irvin was leaving the room to check out. She took an Uber home and called 911. She also texted him asking if they had kicked it, and he told her he wouldn't do anything to hurt her. Michael's version of the events is a lot different. He claims the woman followed him back to his room, but he had an early flight and he was only there for 15 minutes, and he claims another man was there. Michael's lawyer calls the allegations completely false and says the woman was, quote, very drunk that night. You know, these days, you just never know. Irvin is an analyst for the NFL Network, of course, so stay tuned, more on that fiasco will
Why
be coming
even
up.
Put yourself in these situations?
Yeah, you're exactly
God,
right.
God, so dumb.
You are exactly right.
So dumb.
Lamar Odom just did an interview with Us Magazine, and he said that he didn't want Khloe Kardashian back anymore because he knows he messed it up, and he don't want her back. So here's how he put it.
I wish I could have kept my in my pants. Yeah, if there's one thing that I regret, multiple affairs with different women, I wasn't a man. The man thing to do at all wasn't a stand-up thing to do. She didn't deserve that. That time has passed. I don't want to bring her business into the world, make it the world's business. You know what I'm saying? Because I wouldn't want to hurt her anymore. I mean, if you're trying to be in a functioning relationship and you're a functioning drug addict, if that person's not a functioning drug addict, it probably won't work.
Now, did he just call her a functioning drug addict? It sure sounds like it, but
wow.
He don't want her back because, bro, she made it clear a long time ago that she didn't want you back.
She's already moved on.
Yeah.
It's easy to go ahead and say, I don't want her back now. Yeah. Come on.
Her next victim's already, you know, being victimized.
Yes.
Tristan Thompson, about to have the worst postseason of his career.
Oh.
In the playoffs and the Cavs move along, but that's just nuts. Did you hear about these nudies of Jay Cutler?
Yes.
Apparently his wife, Kristen Cavallari, has posted nude pics of him somewhere in public. Well, Conan O'Brien had a little fun with that.
Hear about this kind of a scandal. Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler's wife posted a nude photo of him on Instagram. Yeah. The last thing Bears fans need to see is another Jay Cutler sack.
Oh!
I was under the impression that it was just of his backside.
I don't want to see any.
I mean, I don't really want to see it at all, yeah. But that's what I had heard, so.
You just never know anymore. Crazy. And the whole Colin Kaepernick being blackballed thing isn't done yet. John Elway says he doesn't believe that Kaepernick is being blackballed by the NFL over his national anthem protest, but he says he's not really sure if the QB can still compete in the league. He was caught by TMZ and the guys at the airport, and John and his smoking wife, Paige, a former Oakland Raider cheerleader, were in D.C., when they asked him what he thought about the quarterback still being unemployed, and he said, you know what, I'm not close enough to him to know if he can still play, but I based on what I've heard, he may be done, I don't know, but I do not think he's being blackballed. If he can play, he will play.
I mean, there's something to be said about that, because he is coming off injuries, he's coming off, you know, a year where, whether you want to equate it to the team being terrible around him or him having a so-so season, you know, maybe people are just reading, you know, a lot more into his physical abilities than more so what he does outside of football.
Right. And, of course, you know, Kaepernick's still officially unemployed at this time. But there are some pundits who are saying that he could actually end up in Denver.
Yeah.
If John decides he's worth a look, or is he just diffusing to try and keep things, you know, in a Belichick kind of way so that he can maybe bring in Kaepernick if things don't pan out with other quarterbacks. So
maybe the Cleveland Browns have them in his sights as well.
Hey, bring him on. Well, you know, he deserves that punishment. And another Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner, says that he believes Kaepernick can still play. And he was caught by TMZ as well. They asked him about a couple of the available quarterbacks who he thought was the best of the available quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And does he think that Kaepernick is indeed getting blackballed?
Hey, Kurt, of all the available quarterbacks, like Kaepernick, Cutler, Romo, who do you think's the best?
Oh, my gosh. I think just based on pass, you've got to say Romo. But
right. The
bigger question with Romo is health more than anything else, where you have other guys that are healthy and younger guys. But I just think as a complete quarterback, you got Tony Romo if he's the 2014 Tony Romo.
Totally. Do you think Kaepernick will find a home?
I hope so.
I hope so.
I mean, look around the league and the need for quarterbacks, and you got a quarterback that's had success, played in the Super Bowl. Those guys don't come around very often, so I hope he can find a home in the short term.
Now, you know, the funny thing is that Kurt Warner is one of the most liberal guys in the world, and his opinion here seems to be based purely on football, and he's given a nod to Colin, so that's pretty nice, when most aren't. So he's, you know, he's keeping it positive.
I mean, I think somebody, you know, it'll be after the draft, and it even may be after the season starts, after some injuries happen to some quarterbacks, but I think he will be on a roster at some point this season.
Probably. And here's another clue. Adrian Peterson could end up in Tampa next season.
Yeah, I saw this too.
He's been training with Jameis Winston and hanging out with some of the biggest stars on the team. Adrian was out in Houston this week training with Tim Grover, the fitness guru who's worked with guys like Michael Jordan, Kobe, and Dwayne Wade. He worked out with Jameis and praised the young quarterback's work ethic, saying he really enjoyed being in the backfield and marveling at Winston, and the confidence and leadership he displays around so many veteran guys is really impressive. After the session, Peterson hit the nightlife scenes with Jameis, as well as Bucks receivers Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. So is there some some pre-team meeting going on there between those
Maybe.
Guys?
Maybe. If anything, I don't know why you would want to have a situation where Jameis Winston is learning anything from Adrian Peterson because he already has his issues with public speaking. And
that's true. That is so true.
But, hey, I mean, that could be a pretty dangerous offense and maybe an offense that could contend with the Atlanta Falcons if they get Adrian Peterson on that team. They might even already be an offense that can contend with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC South.
And it's going to be a shorter segment today because, you know, I'm coming back from the flu. Don't want to jump back in full. I'm just doing it lightly as I ease back into the swing of things. But Final Four coming up. And you absolutely need the most convincing excuse not to work over the weekend. If you need an excuse, just try InstaFlu.
So, the Final Four is this weekend, and your boss wants that stack of reports finished, which means you're going to have to work all weekend long. You need new InstaFlu. InstaFlu is a new cold and flu medicine with a twist. Just two InstaFlu taken Thursday night will give you a raging case of the flu by Friday afternoon. That'll only last 8 to 10 hours, meaning you'll spend the weekend at your favorite watering hole watching all the basketball you can handle. New InstaFlu goes to work in seconds, clogging up your nasal passages, irritating bronchial tissue, giving you widespread body aches and chills. No need to put on that lame, sick voice that doesn't fool anybody. You'll actually feel and sound like crap. And there's also InstaFlu D, which rounds out your flu with a thunderous case of diarrhea, just to be sure. Spend your weekend working? Who needs it? Not when you've got InstaFlu from the makers of Instant Press on Hemorrhoids.
Where do you find this stuff, Wally?
I can't tell you.
Is that what you used?
Shh. And it lied, though. 8 to 10 hours became 8 to 10 days. Though.
Yeah, no joke.
But, you know, they're saying that a lot of people are getting the flu. You can be more susceptible to the flu and other illnesses if you're not in good shape. So, spring is here. Bathing suit season is around the corner, so you may want to think about, you know, making some changes and getting in shape. Start pulling it all together. So, with spring here again, the awful time of the year when you start getting your summer clothes out and going, oh man, they're not fitting, what am I going to do? Well, you got to go from being, you got to look at the shape of you, like Ed Sheeran's song, and try not to be out of shape.
Mickey D's isn't the best place to lose weight for the summer, so you go for a run. Just you and your sneakers on a long road, try to convince yourself this'll be fun. You turn your first corner and out of nowhere, looks like a new donut shop has popped up. Put your hands on the window and all you can say is, this is gonna be harder than I thought. Oh, you know you want it bad, licking your lips and freaking out everybody. Come on now, why do you need this to be happy? Come on, just breathe, say hey, let's not think too much. It's just one donut and you only live once. YOLO till the day I die, say YOLO till the day I die. Mm-hmm. Just how out of shape are you? Look in the mirror, do you like the view? Even though you know what to do, you continue to ruin your body. And every night it's like falling into a pit of darkness and healthy food. Every single day you find something brand new. Just how out of shape are you? Why, oh, why, oh, I'm hungry. I really hate my body. Why, oh, why, oh, I'm hungry. I really hate my body. Why, oh, why, oh, I'm hungry. I really hate my body. Every single day you eat some new junk food. Just how out of shape are you?
So, something you may want to think about there.
Wow.
Look at the shape of you. If you don't like it, get in shape.
That was hilarious.
That's the new Closer by the Chainsmokers. I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to go away for a while.
Oh, okay.
And maybe the song of the spring and the summer, because it won't go away. So,
I'm sure.
Be warned. And that, radio family and friends, team members, is this edition of Wally B's World of Sports. Remember that life indeed is a sport and a game. Play it like a winner. Count your blessings. Forget the stressings and appreciate every moment of every day, because every moment is a gift. That's why now it's called the present.
Yes, sir. And welcome back, Wally B. And
you,
Wally B's World of Sports as well. And also got to let you know, we at Cumulus Media have another sweet deal for you. It is half off a $60 certificate to Tilt-A-Kilt Pub and Eatery. So for $30, you will get a $60 certificate for great food, great drinks, and great fun. And if you've ever been to Tilted Kill Pub and Eatery, you know it is great food, great drinks, and great fun. So it is $30 for a $60 certificate to Tilted Kill Pub and Eatery. It's easy. Go to our website, TeamMyrtleBeach.com. Click on the Sweet Deals picture and get your $60 certificate for $30 today to Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery. All right, when we come back on the drive, we will talk about some matchups to watch in these Final Four matchups and which game will actually be better. That's all coming up after this commercial break.
You people disgust me.
Please stay tuned for our Thursday show.
How's it going, eh?
Good day to you, sir.
I'm just a hack who's lucky to get a job.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Why did you leave your last job?
What do you mean?
I never should have gotten out of bed.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive. 22 and a half minutes past the hour. Coming to you from the Solidarity Healthshare Studios, Pat Payone and Wally B. And we are just a day away from the Final Four. And there are two schools making their first appearance ever in the national semifinals, a third that hasn't been there since 1939, and a fourth that averages a Final Four once every 3 years, give or take. Talk about some different histories behind these schools. It's going to be very interesting. I think these matchups have a lot to present. I think they're both going to be pretty interesting games. But let's break them down. Starting off with the number one seeded Gonzaga Zags against Gonzaga Bulldogs. I just call them the Zags. Against the number seven seeded South Carolina Gamecocks. I think there's a couple different matchups that could really tell the tape of how this game could go. And first, it's going to be the backcourts versus the perimeter defenses. You know, both of these teams, Gonzaga and South Carolina, have ridden their Final Four runs to the top two spots with the adjusted defensive efficiency rankings. They have the top two defenses easily left. The Bulldogs allow 86 points per 100 possessions. The Gamecocks, 87.9 per 100 possessions. So really close in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Two really good defenses. That's going to put a lot of pressure on these backcourt stars for both teams. They both have a serious stud in the backcourt. For Gonzaga, it's Nigel Williams-Goss. For South Carolina, it's Sindarius Thornwell. They've received the most attention for their respective teams. But it's not just them. You look at Gonzaga, who also has Josh Perkins and Jordan Matthews, who will also be key. And then for the South Carolina Gamecocks, Dwayne Notis and P.J. Dozier need to give Thornwell plenty of scoring help. And then you got Raycom Felder, who is also a necessary steady hand at the point guard as well. But it starts for both these teams with Williams-Goss for Gonzaga and Thornwell for South Carolina. Williams-Goss is ranked fifth in KenPom.com's Player of the Year standings, and Sindarius Thornwell is ranked sixth. So both of them right at the top of the game in terms of the best players in college basketball. And really, these might be, along with Justin Jackson, the top three players left in the tournament. Maybe you throw in there Dylan Brooks of Oregon. But as good as these defenses are, it really stands to believe that Williams-Goss and Thornwell would get theirs, especially with both being great free throw shooters who get fouled a lot. Both of these guys love to drive the ball, create contact, and throw up a shot in order to try and get a three-point play. But even if they miss the shot, they're going to get their free throws. If we look back on Saturday night and say, wow, blank put his team on the back, chances are we'll be filling that blank in with either Williams-Goss' name or Thornwell's name, because these are the two top players in this game. But with the strength of both these defenses on the perimeter, the secondary backcourt scores for both teams will have to be crucial. So that is definitely one matchup to watch in that first game. Another matchup to watch in this game is going to be Gonzaga's three-point shooting versus South Carolina's three-point defense. You know, the Bulldogs are not an elite team when it comes to three-point shooting. They're effective, connecting on just over 37% of their attempts, which is good enough for 52nd in the entire country. But as a team, though, they don't really shoot a lot of threes. The Bulldogs have scored 26.2% of their total points from behind the arc, which ranks 275th nationally.
Wow.
Still, their four primary perimeter players have all made at least 40 threes this season while hitting at least 37% of their attempts, led by Perkins and Matthews, who are each shooting 40% by Perkins and 38.7% by Matthews. So those are the two players in terms of shooting the threes that you need to go ahead and get on there. But when it comes to South Carolina's defense, they could make this entire night tough for even the best of shooters, no matter what team you're playing, but definitely these Gonzaga shooters. The Gamecocks have held their opponents to the eighth lowest three-point percentage in the country at 30%, and in their second-round win over Duke, with all of those great three-point shooters that Duke has, Luke Kennard and Grayson Allen combined to go for 4 for 14 from the three-point line. So we're talking about two of the greater three-point shooters in all of college basketball, and the Gamecocks held them to 4 of 14 shooting. Then you look at Marquette, which made 43% of all of their threes this entire season, one of the best marks in the entire country. It's actually the highest percentage. What did they do against South Carolina in the first round? 11 of 28.
Defense wins.
Yeah. Michigan, another top-tier offensive three-point shooting team, made just 2 of its 26 attempts when they faced South Carolina in that Thanksgiving week loss. So if the Gamecocks bring the full force of that perimeter defense to this game, that's going to be another matchup to watch. That it may end up being more important than just the backcourt duos against these great defenses. But another key matchup is the big guys in this game. Zemek Karnowski and Zach Collins of Gonzaga versus Mike Kotsar and Chris Silva. You know, few people outside of South Carolina would argue Gonzaga's status as clear favorites in the national semifinal game.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Gamecock fans, and whether you want to, you know, say that they're unrealistic in their expectations, or maybe that they see something in this team that a lot of other people don't, a lot of people are calling that Gonzaga ends the reign of the Gamecocks, their run at a national title, and I don't know if South Carolina plays like they've have in this tournament, they're going to win this game. I don't care what Gonzaga does.
They're on a roll, baby.
But if there's one spot where the Bulldogs' advantage is most obvious, it's in the paint. Put simply, South Carolina may not have an answer to Karnowski, much lesser to the secondary big man, Zach Collins. Karnowski is efficient as possible with a large volume of shots. He's converted better than 60%. Of his two-point attempts, making him a scoring machine when he touches the ball. You also have to look at the ability to pass the ball from Zemek Karnowski. He's not only a great scorer, but he's a great assist man in terms of that Gonzaga offense. But Collins, you know, he's attempted almost as half as many shots as Karnowski, but has nearly made 68% of them. That's a sort of ruthless efficiency that can really keep an offense humming. And, you know, if their shots from distance, which they don't shoot a lot of them in the first place, if they're not falling, look for them to get the ball down the paint. But Kotsar and Silva get a majority of the front court minutes for South Carolina. They just don't measure up to both Karnowski and Collins. If one of them gets in foul trouble, the Gamecocks will be in serious trouble. You got 6'6 P.J. Dozier, 6'5 Sendarius Thornwell. They have combined for 45% of the minutes at power forward over the last five games. The Gamecocks are already at a size disadvantage, and if it turns out that one of them, you know, either Thornwell or Dozier, have to play that power forward position, they don't stand much of a chance of slowing down the Bulldogs' two-headed interior monster. We got a phone call?
Yeah, we got JC from Conway.
JC, what's going on, my man?
No, not much. Just enjoying this Cinderella run.
Yeah, how pumped are you? I know you're a huge South Carolina Gamecocks fan. How pumped are you for this run that they've made?
This is the most unexpected kind of sporting accomplishment in my lifetime.
I agree.
And as someone who went to South Carolina and followed them in sports for 30 plus years, it's unreal. I mean, the two national championships in baseball are great, but I mean, South Carolina has an elite baseball program, so you kind of think if at one point they're going to win a national title.
Yeah, the expectations are there. Yeah.
Yeah, this you know, the Marquette win was the first in my lifetime for South Carolina for an NCAA tournament win. But I actually wanted to talk about what you just talked about with Chris Silva.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Thornwell is obviously our player of the year, but the thing is, South Carolina doesn't play well when Chris Silva's on the bench.
Yeah.
They don't play well when he gets in foul trouble. And one of the things that concerns me about Gonzaga, as you said, is their bigs. when you look at a team that beat South Carolina twice this year, there's one team who did it, and it's Alabama. Yep. And Alabama has got a bunch of bigs, and they're a very physical team. Chris Silva got in foul trouble in both of those games, and in the first half against Alabama, the first time we played them, Alabama got out to a 16-point lead. Now, we came back, but I think eventually Silva fouled out in one of those four overtimes. And then the second time we played Alabama, Silva was in trouble, in foul trouble again the entire game, and we lost in the SEC tournament by double digits. So one of the things that does concern me is Silva's so talented, but he's raw. I mean, the kid's only been playing basketball since he was 16. So Gonzaga is the team with the best bigs that we've played, I think, thus far in the tournament. I'm loving the fact we're in the Final Four, and it's an amazing accomplishment. I have a hard time seeing Silva not getting into foul trouble early, and I do think that South Carolina's defense will play well, but if he's on the bench, you know, that really, you know, that hurts us with scoring, especially if Dozier and Notice are cold. And so I like that, you know, even as a Gamecock fan, I would have to say, you know, my heart says South Carolina, but my head says Gonzaga. But, you know, the way that this team's been playing, who knows? Because if you had told me that Kotsar and Notice and Dozier, who all hadn't been playing well, you know, toward the end of the season, would be playing in the manner that they are, and that Rakim Felder would look like the second best point guard on the court most of the day, you know, I mean, I would have said you were crazy. But so I think if South Carolina plays in the manner that it has been playing, it can win. But you know, the thing is can Silva stay out of foul trouble? That to me is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because when he's on the bench, we don't play nearly as well, and we're not, you know, we essentially have four guards and Kotsar out there when he's playing.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
When he's on the bench,
there's a lack of depth outside of those two big men that you have, and so that's why, like, in that stat I read you earlier, 45% of the minutes at power forward have been played either by Thornwell or Dozier, who are both 6'6", 6'5". That's definitely a mismatch right there. If either Mike Kotsar or Chris Silva get if they get in foul trouble, that's a major mismatch.
Yep. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the analysis, and go Cox this weekend, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the phone call, JC. And, that's a huge concern. The games that the Gamecocks have really struggled in is when Chris Silva or Mike Kotsar get into foul trouble, and then they don't have the depth to contend with that.
Yeah.
But let's look at the other game, number one North Carolina versus number three Oregon, and I think there's two things that you need to look at, matchups in this, that will really tell the tape of this one. It's going to be North Carolina's offensive rebounding versus Oregon's defensive rebounding. This has been almost the key to every North Carolina victory this year. You know, it's very rare that you see a team clean up 41.9% of its misses, but that is exactly what the Tar Heels of North Carolina do. They are just monsters on the offensive boards.
Yeah.
They grabbed 13 offensive rebounds on 31 missed shots in the Elite Eight win over Kentucky, and that led to 17 second-chance points. Those are the sort of numbers that can really offset any type of three-point percentage that ranks 115th in the nation. That is the South Carolina, or the North Carolina Tar Heels. But North Carolina's rebounding efforts start with Kennedy Meeks. He had 5 offensive rebounds against Kentucky, and that ranks ninth in the country, he ranks ninth in the country with an offensive rebounding rate of 16.2%. No team is going to be able to keep him completely off the glass, but Oregon must find ways to limit the second chances that he creates. Now, for what it's worth, the Ducks are not a great rebounding team. They actually rank 180th. That's right, 180 in the country in defensive rebounding rate. So it's been an issue for them not only this season but in the tournament as well. But they beat one of the best rebounding teams in the entire nation, the number one seeded Kansas Jayhawks, in the last game. So you look at that aspect. Now you compare that to the North Carolina Tar Heels, who have the best offensive rebounding stats in the game. It's going to be another game where Oregon's going to have another type of effort to do that.
Yeah.
The other matchup that I'm going to be watching in this one to really tell who's going to win this game is Oregon's game plan to stop Justin Jackson. You know, few teams all season have had a good game plan to slow down one of the great scorers in college basketball, Justin Jackson of North Carolina. I mean, nobody wins ACC Player of the Year by accident. Oregon, they will be in a different position and an interesting position given their personnel. Their starting five includes two players, Dylan Brooks and Jordan Bell, who are taller than 6'4". North Carolina, they roll out Theo Pinson, who's 6'6", Justin Jackson, who's 6'8", Isaiah Hicks, who is 6'9", and Kennedy Meeks, who is 6'10", all in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
That means the Ducks will likely have no choice but to start the game with 6'4", Tyler Dorsey, going up against 6'8", Justin Jackson. This is where the Ducks really miss their great shot blocker and great defender, Chris Boucher. You know, a big lineup that would have included Boucher at center and Bell at power forward, you know, could have really had some of an impact on Justin Jackson's games. But they just don't have the size to match up with North Carolina across the board. And to be fair, you know, they did a great job against another Jackson, Josh Jackson, in the Elite Eight with Kansas, limiting him to 10 points. But at this stage in the college career, North Carolina's Justin Jackson is more well-rounded and more consistent scorer than Josh Jackson, and he'll understand how exactly to exploit his natural height advantage that he'll have for most of the game on Saturday night. That is a huge problem for the Oregon Ducks. We talked about it in the first matchup between the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Height may be an issue when it comes to foul trouble for the South Carolina Gamecock bigs. They don't even need to get in foul trouble for the Ducks. They already have a major height disadvantage, and I think that's something that North Carolina definitely could exploit in this matchup.
Right.
One last thing, I think pace is going to be important for this game. You're talking about two of the fastest-paced teams. North Carolina plays at the 50th fastest pace in the country, and Oregon, they do keep it slow for the most part, but they have the ability to go ahead and force fast play as well, you know, especially with those matchups against Michigan and Kansas, who really they slowed them down. Kansas, which is like North Carolina, likes to get up and down the floor. They just scored 60 points, and that's thanks to really the Oregon Ducks controlling the pace of the game. So controlling the pace of the game is going to be important as well. But really, the biggest key for Oregon getting this win, if they're going to, is figuring out a way to limit Justin Jackson's production and figuring out a way to stop somehow Kennedy Meeks from getting all these offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I see.
We'll go ahead and give our picks tomorrow during our pick 'em contest, and we'll talk about these Final Four matchups a little bit more tomorrow on the show on The Drive. Got to let you know, you can still go out to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, check out the picks that you made, look at the rankings, the standings, see where you are, because remember, the top five get great prizes courtesy of Budweiser through Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. And the number one overall bracket is going to get a 50-inch flat-screen TV courtesy of Backyard Sports Bar and Grill. It's easy. Go to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, click on the Million Dollar Madness Bracket Challenge picture, check out the standings, see where you rank. I'm 81st, so don't worry about me. Don't worry about me at all. It's terrible. But also want to let you know, Cumulus Media is having their second annual Bacon Fest this weekend.
Yeah.
It is April 1st.
Torkalicious, baby.
If you went last year, you know how great of an event this is. Not only is there great bacon-inspired dishes, there's great entertainment with True Soul, one of the great bands on the Grand Strand, but it's just a great atmosphere as well at the House of Blues. So that is Saturday, April 1st, Bacon Fest, sponsored by Cumulus Media.
This and weekend, so, baby.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's the second annual Bacon Fest, and last year was a great success. We expect great numbers and a great success again this year. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our sports movie bracket with another Final Four matchup. That's coming up on The Drive.
Today's show is brought to you by Thursday, the day Congress approved the Declaration of Independence, a document that stated that we and we alone are capable of governing ourselves. How are we doing on that?
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Just about 44 minutes past the hour. I had to run over there and try and see because we're getting some confusion on Twitter about how to sign up. We've already had one person sign up with me. So, Mark, I apologize. I will let you know how to sign up. But you have to go and find the mini league called Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. It's you just got to find it, and then you sign in by doing the golf 123 password. So I'll put out more instructions, but it should be pretty self-explanatory there. All right, Wally, we're continuing the sports movie bracket, and we are in another Final Four matchup. Who we got on the phone?
James, want to talk about the Raiders real quick? Moving.
All right, James, we got to make this fast.
Hang on, let me get him on here.
Okay.
Are you?
James, you there?
yeah, if I was a Raider fan, I would still go to all the home games. I know you're saying the owner did it for money. I mean, but if you don't want to go because of him, then you shouldn't go to no other home game except the Dolphins, because all the other owners, the only reason they voted on it is because they got that money in their pocket.
I'm not blaming the other owners for taking the money and running, though.
They're no different than what he's doing. He's moving the team for money. The owners voted on the move for money.
I'm not going to blame the other owners, though. Why not take some free money, $50 million, cold cash?
Give me my share.
Exactly. So why should I not like
the L.A. Rams because they voted for the Oakland Raiders to move when Oakland, the city of Oakland, is not, first of all, not putting up money to get them a new stadium. Second of all, I mean, this is a beneficial thing for the NFL to move into Las Vegas. But if you're an actual Raiders fan, you shouldn't be supporting this team. They're taking the rug out from under you.
Yeah, but that's all I want to say.
Okay.
They're all just a bunch of money-hungry
billionaires. You are correct in that.
It all goes in the circle. They're all in it for the money.
You are correct in that one.
Y'all have a good one.
I appreciate the phone call, James. And I'm not saying that Raiders fans should boycott. If it was me, I'm not giving my money to Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. There's no way I'm giving him any money. It's just not happening. But we are continuing our sports movie Final Four with another matchup. It is number three, We Are Marshall, versus number one, Remember the Titans. But before we get to that, ladies and gentlemen, we had our first tie in the sports movie bracket. It happened to be in the Final Four with number three, Caddyshack, and number two, Rocky, yesterday. 50% to 50%. So, Wally, you are the tiebreaker. Tell me which movie moves on to the final.
Let's see here. Which is the money movie for me?
Rocky or Caddyshack?
It's a tough one. This is a big golf market with lots of money. But I gotta go with Rocky. It's based on a true story. It was such a great movie. The original, of course, we're talking about, so I gotta give it to Rocky.
Alright, well, Rocky is now in the championship of our sports movie bracket, with Wally being the deciding factor, as you guys went 50% down the middle. I went Caddyshack yesterday. My vote went into 50%, so it doesn't really matter. But let's talk about the other semifinal. Number three, We Are Marshall, taking on number one, Remember the Titans. Just to give you a little synopsis, We Are Marshall, great movie, great historical movie. And in 1970, at Marshall University, a small town in Huntington, West Virginia, there was a plane crash that claimed the lives of 75 of the school's football players, staff members, and boosters. And then you have the whole rebuilding of the university's program with the hiring of Matthew McConaughey to be the new coach. And then they have the struggles with the NCAA. Yeah. This is really a movie about persistence and rising from the ashes, if I could put up quotations. It's a recurring theme throughout the entire movie. Great movie, great historical value, and great acting as well. I think both Matthew McConaughey and who played the AD, I can't remember his name, they did both great jobs in this movie.
And don't forget, last week I picked Marshall to be the overall winner.
Yeah, you did. That's taken on number one, Remember the Titans, and we know about this movie. High school football is the way of life in most states, but in Virginia it was also at that time period and still is today. You know, at this point, things were becoming desegregated in the state of Virginia, and they started with the high school T.C. Williams, and it follows the story of this team, this community coming together behind the football team, with the African-American players and the white players joining forces to create a ridiculously talented team.
Yeah.
And making a run at the state championship. And it also has some amazing, amazing actors in this, including Denzel Washington and some other lesser-known actors, but they become more well-known nowadays. It's just an incredible movie. For my vote, I did put down Remember the Titans. And Wally, We Are Marshall, Remember the Titans. You're still going We Are Marshall?
Yeah, I got to go with We Are Marshall.
All right, you can go on Twitter, at 100 through the team, and vote in that one. Right now, with just about 22 hours left, 96% of the votes, Remember the Titans. So,
wow.
That's pretty interesting that it's that big of a difference there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting right there. 96% Remember the Titans, 4% right now to We Are Marshall. So that will continue. And on tomorrow's show, we will go ahead and give the result of that one and do the championship of the sports movie bracket. Who will face off against number two Rocky? Will it be We Are Marshall? Will it be Remember the Titans? And if it is Remember the Titans, that'll be the only number one seed that made it to the Final Four.
Wow.
And the only number one seed in the championship, as Rocky is the number two seed from the Southeast Quadrant or region. So pretty interesting. It's been fun to do this bracket, this sports movie bracket. So I'm glad that you guys are out there enjoying it, voting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Wally and I and Rusty, when he's been here, we've been enjoying this as well, talking about the movies. I love Remember the Titans. Maybe it's more because of it's where I'm from, but it's also just a great perspective on what was going on at that time period that, you know, I certainly was not alive at yet.
Yeah. I know a lot of local people who went to Marshall, and of course with our local soccer Steve, former head coach and legendary coach D'Antoni being there now. That's why I'm going to pull for Marshall.
Well, you also have the Remember the Titans local flavor as well, with Ronnie Bass's son being the quarterback for North Myrtle Beach. So there's a local flavor to both of them, so I can see why you could vote either way. But right now, again, 96% of the votes Remember the Titans, 4% say We Are Marshall. All right, when we come back, final word on what to watch. This is The Drive.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your work day. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive. Just about 1 minute left in today's show. And so my final word, I'll just go through it one more time. When you go to majors.com and you go ahead and register a login, it'll ask you, you can type in, or you can click the button Mini Leagues, and you click on that, it's going to ask you for a password. You have to put golf123 in all caps, and that'll bring you to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team little group to join. So just to let you know, that's exactly how you do it. So if there's any other confusion, send me a note. What to watch tonight, the Houston Open on the PGA Tour gets underway 4 p.m. on the Golf Channel. That's going to be a great tournament right there. We also have Cavaliers at Bulls tonight, 8 p.m. on TNT in the NBA. The NIT championship game, it is the 80th championship game at Madison Square Garden between Georgia Tech and TCU. That is 8 p.m. on ESPN. You also have the College Slam Dunk and Three-Point Championship from Phoenix, 10 p.m. on ESPN. And then the nightcap is Rockets at Trailblazers in the NBA, 10:30 TNT. It's been a really great show. Thanks to Wally B. Glad he's feeling better. Great to have him back in the studio.
Good to be back. Thank you, sir.
Everyone, thanks for the tweets. It's been fun. For Wally B., I'm Pat Payone. Everybody have a great Thursday.
Your sports leader from Little River to Loras, Conway to Carolina Forest. We are WSCA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.